بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's edition of Revival in Motion, a program where we go back to the basics, set out learning challenges, and start living the Islamic lifestyle. Welcome to the program. Coming up later on today's program, in our series Divine Names, we hear from our guest, Muhammad. Muhammad is a teacher, and today she'll be talking to us about the divine name, the Infinitely Merciful. Find out more on today's program with that, inshallah. But in this first segment of the program, we're going to our theme on Salah and how to upgrade our Salah. We've been working our way through Surah Al-Fatiha, striving to understand more about what the Qur'an and what the Sunnah teaches us about Salah. We've also looked to the examples of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, may Allah be pleased with them all, to understand what we can do to honor, revere, respect and upgrade our Salah this Ramadan. Now, when we started discussing Surah Al-Fatiha, I mentioned how with the Surah in particular, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha, we're having a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He responds with every verse we recite. Now, this Surah affirms Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rububiyyah. Rububiyyah is lordship. But it also tells us that this lordship is based on mercy, which is why we recite Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Right after we praise Allah, we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That's the praise to Allah. And then we follow that with Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is mentioned before we are told that He is the sovereign on the Day of Judgment, so that we know that His mercy supersedes His wrath. And then finally we talked about the key to being given this mercy, which is that we sincerely worship Him. In order to worship Him, we need His help. And so we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is you we worship, and you we ask for help. And so if we want to be guided, we should ask for that guidance. Now we have entered into the realm of dua. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Where in verses 6 and 7 of Surah Al-Fatiha we say, guide us to the straight path, the path of those upon whom you have bestowed favor, not of those who have evoked your anger, or of those who are astray. Ibn Taymiyyah stated that the dua of Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest, wisest, and most beneficial dua. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to the straight path, He helps us to obey Him. So one might ask, why should I ask for guidance if I am already guided? I pray, I fast, I read Quran, surely I'm guided. Firstly, the peak of guidance is to be at the level of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and none of us can claim to have reached that state, or even the level of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And so we ask Allah to increase us in guidance. Secondly, being guided is dependent upon our reliance on Allah and our humility before Him. And asking Him to continue guiding us is expressing that. How can we claim to be guided by Allah when we do not ask Him? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, whoever does not ask Allah, Allah is angry with him. as recorded in Ibn Majah. Now, Ibn al-Qayyim stated that the straight path we are asking to be guided upon consists of knowledge and actions. And this knowledge and action is both internal and external. But a servant may not know all of the details in terms of what to follow, what to avoid, and what earns Allah's pleasure or displeasure. And what the servant doesn't know may be more than what he does know. Think about that. And so when we ask for guidance, we are also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge of these things and other things that we are not capable of or aware of. So even with knowledge that we do have, we are capable of doing some things and other things we are not capable of doing. For example, we know that we must go for Hajj, but some of us just do not have the means. So when we ask for guidance, we are asking Allah to help us to be able to do the things we have knowledge of. Furthermore, even with those things that we have knowledge of and are able to do, our nafs may not incline us towards them. For example, perhaps we know the benefit of Qiyam al-Layl, but we are too lazy to attempt to wake up for it. When we ask for that guidance, we are asking Him to make our souls incline towards it. Now, a further point. Perhaps we have the knowledge, we have the ability, we have the desire to perform a good deed, but we may not be sincere when we perform the act. Perhaps our intentions are mixed. Asking Allah for guidance is to ask Him to grant us sincerity also. Because sincerity is what keeps us on the straight path. Asking Allah to guide us on this path means also asking Him to follow, to help us follow the footsteps of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and finally having thabat, which is firmness in these actions, so that we do not waver. Now, within what we ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not just ask for guidance, but we ask to be guided on Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he would intercede on his behalf on the Day of Judgment. I will, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied. So where should I look for you on the Day of Judgment? Inquired Anas radiallahu anhu. To which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you need me, first of all, look for me at Sirat, the bridge. And if I do not find you there, asked Anas radiallahu anhu, look for me then at the mizan, the scales. Where may I seek you? Asked Anas radiallahu anhu, if you are not near the mizan as well. Then look for me at the hawd, the pond. I will not go away from these three places at that time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, and this is mentioned in At-Tirmidhi. So Anas radiallahu anhu asked, where can he find? This was the fikr of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They could not bear to be separated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to be with him in this world, and they wanted that for the hereafter. So his fikr was, where do I find you on the Day of Judgment? How can I be with you on that day? So Rasulullah ﷺ said, firstly, to look for me at the Sirat, at the bridge. And if you don't find me there, then at the mizan, the scales. If you don't find me there, at the hawd. Allahu Akbar. May Allah put in our hearts this deep love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this deep concern about our state in this dunya and our state in the akhirah. And so the first place to ask intercession from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be at the Sirat. The Sirat itself is a bridge over hell that we have to pass to get to paradise. It is described as a thin bridge, as thin as a hair, and it is slippery. So, how will we pass over it? Now, people will pass over the bridge according to their deeds. And the first of them as fast as lightning, then as fast as wind, then as fast as birds, and then as fast as a running man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be standing on the path saying, Lord, save, save. Some people's deeds will fall short. Some of them will come crawling. And at both sides of the path there are hooks designed to take whomsoever Allah wills. Some are saved but bruised, and others are thrown into hell, as we learn from Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Ibn al-Qayyim stated that in this life, Allah has given us a straight path, and He has invited us all to it. And so whoever is guided to the straight path in this life will make it over the straight path in the next life, inshallah. Our situation on the Sirat, whether we fly over it or crawl, depends on our sticking to it in this life. So, can we see the importance of the dua that we make in every salah? Allahu Akbar. And then we say Ameen. And when we say Ameen at Surah Fatiha at the end, oh Allah, please respond, we need to say it with all of our heart. Because after knowing all of these meanings, we should have true devotion and really desire for Allah to respond to this magnificent dua. However, if we are distracted, this dua will not be answered. Do you know why? In At-Tirmidhi, it is stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, make dua to Allah with sincerity, that your dua will be responded to, and know that Allah does not answer a dua that originates from a negligent, inattentive heart. May Allah protect us from having such hearts. Ameen. Ibn al-Qayyim said that when a person recites Surah Al-Fatiha, he or she should give a short pause after every verse to anticipate the response to Allah. It was reported on the authority of Salama radiallahu anha that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do that. May Allah guide us to the straight path and enable us to have a present heart in our salah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Join us after the break in our next segment as we continue, and this time focusing on Allah's favors. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the second segment of Revival in Motion as we continue with our journey of upgrading our salah in the hope to taste the sweetness of prayer on a daily basis. We are now talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors, those on whom Allah has bestowed His favors. Now, before the break in the last segment, we described the Sirat, which is that straight path that we must follow in this life so that we can cross over the physical one in the next life. In Surah Al-Fatiha, we then specify the path we want to take. We recite, Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those upon whom you have bestowed favor. The sixth ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. When we recite this ayah, our hearts should soften because we remember those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His favor. The Prophet alayhimus salatu wassalam, the companions, the righteous, and so on. And so this ayah, ayah number 6 of Surah Al-Fatiha, gives us comfort that those who follow this path are those whom Allah is with. So do not be ashamed of your faith before those who belittle you. Do not shrink back when you are the only person who doesn't drink or when your hijab is questioned. Many of the surahs in the Quran tell us the stories of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, almost as though to give comfort to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam when he was going through hardship in delivering the message. This ayah too, ayah number 6 of Surah Al-Fatiha, should do just that for us. We should know that as long as we are on this path, Allah is with us. And then the continuation of this ayah tells us, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, not of those who have evoked your anger or of those who are astray. Who are those who have evoked Allah's anger? Ibn Kathir stated that it is a description of those who know the truth but do not follow it. And those who are astray are those who do things without knowledge. We need to be aware of these two paths so that we do not fall into them. And so to be on the straight path, we need to combine both knowledge and actions. Surah Al-Fatiha also teaches us the proper order of dua, that we should always start by praising Allah and then asking for our needs. Now, before the break, we spoke briefly about Ameen and how we should say truly desiring for Allah to answer the dua of Al-Fatiha. But something else happens when we say it, when we say Ameen. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhum related that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the imam says Ameen, and then say Ameen, because whoever says Ameen with the angels, his previous sins will be forgiven. When the imam says Ameen, then say Ameen, because whoever says Ameen with the angels, his previous sins will be forgiven. We say Ameen, meaning, O Allah, please respond. And the angels in the heavens also say Ameen. If they coincide, then Allah forgives our sins. This is also why we should say it with all of our hearts, in order that Allah responds to our sincere dua, and so that our sins are forgiven. And after reciting Al-Fatiha, we recite a brief surah thereafter. Unfortunately, sometimes we cannot even remember which surah we read. For those of us who have this problem, let us remember Allah's words. In Surah 47, Ayah 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Then do they not reflect upon the Qur'an, or are there locks upon their hearts? Look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray. Aisha radiallahu anha related that sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray in the night until Fajr, reciting just one ayah. One of the righteous, Muhammad bin Ka'b al-Qardi, would say, to recite Surah al-Zalzala from night until morning, and Surah al-Qari'ah, and contemplating over them, and repeating them, is more beloved to me than just reading the entire Qur'an without contemplation. A neighbor of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, mentioned that when he would pray tahajjud, he would recite an ayah and then pause. Then he would recite another ayah and pause. The neighbor asked him why he would do that, and he replied that it was so he could contemplate over the words. Oftentimes, we focus on quantity and not on quality. Some of us may read an entire chapter of the Quran, but if we were asked what lessons we took, we would not be able to talk about even one. Ibn Qayyim stated that if one wishes to benefit from the Quran, he needs to ensure that his heart is present. He needs to recite or listen to the words, giving them their due importance, knowing that Allah is addressing him. These words are so powerful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah 59, Ayah 21, "If we had sent down this Quran upon a mountain, you would have seen it humbled and coming apart from fear of Allah." Subhanallah, look at the parable that Allah has set for you and I. Look at the weight of this Quran that we recite every single day, not realizing that the words are addressed to us and are there to guide us. Even if some of us say that we do not understand Arabic, many of us have certain ayat and surah that we have memorized and we recite them in our salah. We should try to read the tafsir, study with a teacher, understand the meanings, so that our hearts are moved when we recite. It should not even take very long if we commit to read a few pages of tafsir every week of a surah that we know. We should even get together with others, encourage others, and gain the barakah of reflecting on the words of Quran in halaqat, in tafsir lessons, etc. Ibn al-Qayyim said that we should be moving between the emotions of love, fear and hope. When we read the verses pertaining to Allah's blessings, our hearts should fill with love, recognizing these blessings in our lives. When we read of those who were before us and of their punishment, we should feel fear because we could be of them. When we recite the verses telling us about how Allah forgives, we should be filled with hope of His mercy. So let's not forget that the salah is not a monologue. It is an intimate dialogue with Allah. The Quran is His words to us. May Allah help us in reflecting and taking lessons from the Quran and having a present heart, a mindful heart in our salah. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now let's talk about internal actions and focus on the ruku'. Preparing ourselves for salah means realizing who we are meeting with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, the most merciful of those who show mercy. We beautify ourselves externally because we are meeting with Allah. And we humble ourselves internally as we stand before the Most High. We stand between fear and hope, but the overwhelming emotion is love. When we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we pause after every verse to reflect on it, knowing that Allah responds. When we recite a short surah afterwards, we recognize that these words are a message to us. When we finish reciting the short surah after Al-Fatiha, we should implement a very short pause, just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, and then raise our hands to say Allahu Akbar, and this would be for the Shafi'i, and remember that between almost every change of posture we say Allahu Akbar. This is to remind ourselves and to alert us that Allah is greater than anything and everything. Whatever our mind is distracted with, whatever worries us, whatever plagues our peace of mind, Allah is greater than anything. And then we bow down in ruku'. When we bow down, we are emulating the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of us rush our ruku' and sujood, but it is so important to give each action of salah its due measure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once saw a man not completing the ruku' properly and rushing his sujood, such that he looked like he was pecking. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Were this man to die in this state, he would die on a faith other than that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the likeness of one who does not make ruku' completely and pecks in his sujood is like the hungry person who eats one or two dates, which are of no use to him at all." Tabarani. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam use such an example? Because we come to our salah as people who are spiritually hungry and thirsty, looking for a refuge from the worries of the world. It does not make sense for a starving person to eat one or two dates if he has access to more. Neither does it make sense for us to rush our ruku and sujood.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim are both derived from the root words Ra, Ha and Mim. Rahama means compassion, tender and kindness. Rahim means womb, where mercy is displayed and where mercy is expected from kingship. Now that we know the literal meaning, let's look at the definition of compassion. Compassion is an understanding of the emotional state of another or oneself. Compassion should not be confused with empathy. Compassion is often combined with the desire to elevate or reduce the suffering of another or to show special kindness to those who suffer. However, compassion may lead an individual to feel empathy with another person. Ar-Rahman is an exclusive attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman refers to Allah's mercy, which encompasses the entire universe in a way which others can't. Ar-Rahim is Allah ta'ala's exclusive mercy in the next world. Ar-Rahim can be an attribute of a human as well. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's mercy encompasses the entire universe. So by just pondering on this hadith, we can bring mercy into our lives. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-rahimuna yarhamuhumur rahman, irhamu man fil ardi yarhamukum man fis sama." The merciful ones, Allah Ta'ala has mercy on them. Have mercy on the ones on earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is in the heavens, will have mercy on you. From the above hadith, we realize that if we inculcate the habit of being merciful, we will attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of Akra bin Habis radiallahu anhu comes to mind. Hazrat Akra radiallahu anhu was in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed his grandson Hassan radiallahu anhu. Akra radiallahu anhu said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I have 10 children, but I never kissed any one of them." To which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said to him, "Man la yarham, la yurham." He who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. Inshallah, we must try and inculcate in ourselves to be merciful towards others so we can attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. This Ramadan, let us start with the proper niyyah and let us build consistency in our ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that action that is done with consistency. Let us not be like a person who works hard to cultivate a beautiful garden, and when he sees how beautiful his garden looks, he feels satisfied and leaves it alone. What will happen if a passerby sees his garden after 3 months? Won't it be in ruins to lack of care? So how do we want to return to our Allah when our call is made? So inshallah, this Ramadan, we will start renewing our intentions every day. Whatever we do, let us do it only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know whether we will be blessed with another Ramadan. I will close off with the advice our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu anhu on one occasion, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Mu'az, ikhlis deenak, yakfika amalun qaleel. O Mu'az, make sincere your deen, then a little action will be sufficient for you.